It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon Dale are here to take your calls. Whether you want to reflect on today's results, maybe you want to go back to midweek in Europe, because it's taken quite a lot to get over that collapse from the Celtic fans and for the Celtic fans, and then that disaster for you Rangers fans. Maybe you want to look ahead to tomorrow, and I'm looking at you again, Rangers fans. How important is it that you turn this around? We've got the SFA sanctions about the cup game, and anything else that you want to get off your chest. 0141 951 1025. Fresh reaction to today though, Hugh Keevans, where Celtic beat Falkirk by 2-1. Hearts beat St Johnstone by the same scoreline, and the score of the day by a mile in the top flight is Kilmarnock 0 Dundee United 4.
And I suspect that's the story of the day, because it continues a miserable run for Billy Dodds and Neil McCann at Kilmarnock. They've lost 13 league goals in the first three matches. They're rock bottom of the league. They look a shambles, and it's not a good early sign in the season. For Celtic, they got there in the end. It didn't sound convincing. And for Hearts, same for them. They got there in the end. But at least they had a good result in Europe in midweek. Celtic had a shocker, and at least they've put pressure on Rangers tomorrow. If Celtic had a shocker, words fail me with regard to Rangers in the Czech Republic. A disgrace.
It was probably quite a comfortable 2-1 for Celtic today, Gordon. They never really looked in danger of it not ending up in 3 points. So time will tell. Between now and 6 o'clock, is that enough to satisfy the Celtic fans? Do they want to see more? What did they make of Haseem Hassan on his first start? Camilo Duran played through the middle and scored twice.
Yeah, that's a big question mark, because I think we all agree that even in the pre-season games, Duran through the middle scored goals, a threat. That's his natural position. Unfortunately, Celtic have brought in a top-class centre-forward and paid a lot of money for Casper Hood. So it'll be interesting to see going forward who's got to play there. But it was important that Celtic go back to winning ways. Look, I think Celtic fans, after the goal went in so early, what was it, 3-4 minutes, they got gifted a goal. They're sitting back there thinking, right, it's got to be a comfortable day, score a few goals and put on a performance. All credit to Falkirk, get back in, made it a little bit nervy. But by all accounts, Celtic obviously deserve to pick up 3 points. Hearts, I think Hearts' job today was quite simple. 3 points and then have a few days rest and get yourself prepared for the coming games. But the big, big question is, what is happening down in Kilmarnock? Neil McCann, Billy Dodds will be scratching their head just now. Dundee United, who have showed no form at all, go down there and absolutely scalp them 4-0.
And I'm sure we'll look ahead to tomorrow, Cammy, because if we said Celtic needed to just win today and bounce back, my goodness, the situation for Rangers. I'd love to find out how the Rangers fans are feeling, making that big journey up to Aberdeen.
Yeah, listen, it becomes, and you don't like to say it, but I'm going to say it, it's a must-win game for Rangers. You've got to go up there and win that game of football. Now Celtic, we spoke about it before the game started, if Celtic get another 3 points on the board, Rangers have to react. It's been such a disappointing week. Derek McInnes now needs to show what this Rangers side's all about and what they're made of. Go and get 3 points at Aberdeen, dampen down all the negativity. But if they don't do that, it's going to be absolutely disastrous.
0141 951 1025. I am not a betting man, but I would have put everything I owned on this. Simon, a Kilmarnock fan, has picked up the phone on 0141 951 1025. How would you sum that up, Simon?
Hi guys, hope you're having a better Saturday than me. I'd love to know if anyone's had a worse one, actually. So I woke up this morning, tried to make a nice shakshuka for my breakfast and burnt it. Found out the trains were all cancelled for Glasgow. Had to get the bus down. 4-0 defeat. Now I'm stuck in a bus that's like a sauna because the air conditioning's broken. So.
You cooked a what?
Oh, that's not the point, right? it's like poached eggs and something, isn't it?
Yeah, poached eggs and like a kind of tomato base.
Right.
It's really nice. Middle Eastern. Very West End, lovey.
Sound, I was going to say, you hipster. Sounds right up my street, though, for what it's worth. I'd rather talk about Kilmarnock, Simon. Once you got to the football, my goodness, I know you maybe have had a rough start to the season, but this must really feel like a low point.
Yeah, listen, I think Neil McCann's made a rod for his own back here. It was Jose Mourinho said that the best trait a manager can have is to have an element of pragmatism. And Neil McCann just doesn't have that in his body. And it's all very well if you have like a huge budget and, you know, all the money to spend to create a team to play the way he wants to play, but we don't have that. I didn't want him in the first place, but he won me over last season with the football. Defensively, still ropey, but we were scoring goals, playing well. This season has just been an absolute disaster. You can't even quantify how bad a disaster it is. McCann refuses to change his formation, refuses to go off this horrible diamond formation that doesn't work. It's got no width. Dundee United today, all they did was just, as soon as they got the ball, just ping the ball out to the wide areas. We had Mayer, who was the new fullback, and Shannon Larson, who were in so deep. They had so much space. There was obviously no wide players, so Klitschko was playing there in the first half, and Kilty was out wide as well. They were asked to come inside as they do in a diamond, so it was just giving the flanks up. He refuses to change, and it's actually so frustrating because I don't understand why you can't see that this isn't working. You know, you don't have to give up your philosophies and stop playing attacking football, but the players we've got on the team are screaming out for a 3-5-2. It means we get our fullbacks high at the part where he wants, two strikers on the pitch, Kilty in the number 10 where he's best, and we get a bit more possession in the midfield. At the moment, it's just all over the place, and he's on a sugary peg, and I'm normally very, very relaxed and give managers time, but at the moment, if he doesn't get something against St Mirren on Wednesday or away to Pittodrie where we've got the terrible record in the next two games and then goes out the cup to Aberdeen, I'm afraid I think his time will be up because he's never fully won the fans over, and I think that's going to spill over today.
So two games then, Simon. You give him two games to turn this around?
I think so, yeah. I don't think he ever won the fans over. That's the issue. You know, people always say you can't just keep, you know, sacking managers and doing things, but if the manager's refusing to show any sort of, that he's learning any sort of lessons from the mistakes, you know, if we'd lost that game against St Johnston and then you lose heavily to Celtic, which is, you know, can happen, and then he showed something in the other games, you know, we conceded two to a really bang average United team. We conceded four goals today to, again, a really bang average Dundee United team. He's not learning his lessons. And if a manager can't learn and grow, then what do you do?
If any manager is that stubborn, do they deserve all they get in the end?
Exactly. That's my feeling on it. I think that, you know, he said something in his press conference during the week, Hugh, I don't know if you heard it, that really angered me and it kind of worried me. He said that giving up chances at the back is the price you pay to play attacking football. Now, I think Jens Bertolaski would like to have a word with him on that. You know, good coaches can play attacking football and also be solid at the back. He signed a myriad of defenders this summer. The boy McCarthy today, I felt so bad for him. He looks a really good player. He came in, he looked relatively steady. He and a really good team is going to stand out and he's going to have a really good career. But I feel like, you know, we lost Deez as well. He came off and he was in a moon boot today in crutches when he came back in the second half. It's a disaster, and I can't see it getting better, which is the thing. You know, I don't tend to leave games early. I can count on one hand the amount of times in the last decade I've left games early, and I've seen some terrible football matches, and I've left twice this season already before the end of games, and I think that just sums up for me.
I think it's I know what Simon's saying. Listen, a new season, especially after what happened last year, new pitch, everybody looking forward to exciting football ahead. It's not really happened so far, but forget the cup games. You're talking about league games here. You're three in. Yes, they're conceding goals for fun. I think Neil McCann and Billy Dawes, listen, they're no friends of mine, and don't give me this. I just think they deserve a little bit more time for the job they've done coming into Kilmarnock when it was a real need for someone to come in and probably keep them in the league, and they achieved that. Have they got off to the right start? Are they conceding too many goals? Yes, I totally agree with all the negative stuff. But is it just a little bit too early for me?
I don't need a second invitation to praise Jens Bertolaski, as you would know, Cammy. But I was actually wondering if that's where Simon was going with his comparison. Look, it was a very good example of it. Not every team can't necessarily do it as well as he did. However, the principle of it is true, and Simon's hit the nail on the head. You can't say that, oh, don't worry, like, it's inevitable that you're going to give up chances if you play open, expansive attacking football, because that's not the case. If you do it well enough, it's just not, you know, the whole point is that you have the ball more than the opponent, so they can't get it, but then your distances are good when the other team's got it, and you're in good positions to go and win it back, because, you know, you press high up. It is, that's that's wrong, that notion that if you try and be expansive going forward, you just need to accept that you're going to be open at the back. It's not true.
No, it's not true. Again, you've got to build your foundation on having a solid defence, but also that attacking element to your game, and you can do both. You can absolutely do both. Again, you're speaking about distances. That's key. Certainly when you're attacking as a team going forward, your defence is in good positions that if the transition happens, that you can still defend counter-attacks. You can still defend when the opposition win the ball back. Listen, Kilmarnock, there's no getting away from it. They concede far too many goals, and they have done since Neils came in to the job. Last season I felt as if they were scoring goals, which was getting them away with it a little bit, but there was also still that element of worry for me that they were conceding goals. They had that period where they had a goalkeeping problem last season. They were looking for answers in that position. It's just been really, really worrying for me that they've conceded so many goals this season, and especially to a Dundee United team that had scored one goal so far this season, and they go to Rugby Park and score four, and I think that tells you where Kilmarnock are at this moment in time.
You're struggling to see this being turned around for Neil McCann, Simon?
Yeah, that's big when it comes to if he'd made, you know, showed some sign that he could see the mistakes he was making and maybe try and rectify it, maybe try and be a bit more solid. You know, his problem with his Dundee team, they played amazing football, but they couldn't, you know, keep Wayne's at a close, and that's the same thing here since he's been at Killie. You know, I looked at the stats at half time, and Dundee United has 74% possession at Rugby Park. Like, that is, you know, that's something that if it was against Celtic or Rangers, I would be annoyed about. Never mind, you know, like a Dundee United team who, credit to them, didn't really have to come out of second gear today. You know, they knew exactly how Kilmarnock were going to play. They just, and they exploited it. It doesn't feel like there's going to be a change. It doesn't feel like it's going to, and that's the thing. I think you can always say, like, oh, you know, it's very early in the season, and of course it is. But, you know, you have to show that you're learning from your mistakes and that you're able to, you know, try something different. You know, it's just the same thing about, you know, trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know, it's not going to happen. We don't have that guy like Finlay Curtis last year, who was a kind of maverick player, who, you know, you could just give him the ball and he'd make stuff happen. You know, we don't have that kind of player in the team anymore. So trying to just, you know, shoehorn this formation in and just keep it that way, it's only going to end one way.
Things must be bad because, Simon, yeah, you're about to be joined. Multiple Kilmarnock fans who want to have a go. Michael is on, sharing frustration, I would imagine, Michael.
Yeah, I'm absolutely perplexed to what I'm watching. Busy day with family, rushing about to get to go and watch a football game, and I'm just so disappointed. But it's been the same for the whole of the season. Celtic played well against us, but we gave them every chance they got. They probably could have scored double if they scored. 4-3 against St Johnstone flattered us. And today's just, I just don't understand why he doesn't see that the changes need to be made in the team. We've got good attacking players. I believe we've got a good squad of players as well, actually, but the tactics and the approach to the game is completely crazy, as far as I'm concerned.
It's interesting this, Michael, because quite often, I mean, when teams are on a bad run or bad result, whatever, take, you know, Europe the other night, there's a kind of widespread, because sometimes the boards will get it and certain players will get it, but all the Kilmarnock fans, it seems to all be about the tactics for you.
Yeah, because I've seen this last season. I do think that Finlay Curtis was a big part of how well we've done. I would love to have him back. However, I did see some positive expansive football. We conceded some goals. We scored a lot of goals, but we looked better. And that's the thing that worries me. We looked a lot better. I couldn't believe that he's not a big player to a lot of Kilmarnock fans. Robbie Dees, I noticed, really missed him at the start of the season. But I just still don't believe it's anything to do with the personnel that's on the park. It's a narrow formation. There's no anything. I feel as if the Celtic game was the kind of the big one for me. We kind of went gung-ho and looked good. People were saying on the telly and the radio in the first 10 minutes. But you can't keep that up against a team of Celtic's level. And no disrespect to Dundee United, that they've not started the season well. They've not looked like scoring a barrel load of goals. And they're 3-0 up with, I think it was a 1.8. Goal expectancy, 74% possession, 10 shots and goal in the first 40 minutes of the game, which is ludicrous.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say then, because it's not like you are creating loads of chances then on a day like today, and, you know, and then it just so happens you're being caught out the other way. Even that attacking, yeah, free-flowing bit isn't necessarily working, is it?
No, I don't think it is, and it would be, in an ideal world, I think one of the callers was talking about, it's all great having the idea that Neil McCann maybe has. I've got that most respect for him for keeping us in the league last season, but it did look a big possibility that that wouldn't be the case. But we're not the sort of team that can play that sort of football on a regular basis. We need to remember who we are, remember what's important. First and foremost, don't concede goals, and see if we can build on it from there. Under Derek McInnes, that's the sort of approach and mentality we had. Granted, it wasn't going perfectly well in a couple of the seasons. However, the fundamental idea of what Kilmarnock are is, in my opinion, being hard to score against.
You're backing them to turn this round, though, Michael. Still got time.
I think Kilmarnock as a team, again, it's a strange one because I do have the utmost respect for McCann. It was actually exciting to watch last season. We stayed in the league and I was quite optimistic about this season, but the cup games didn't go pretty well. But I definitely think we've got the personnel to turn it around. But is Neil McCann going to change his approach? Is he going to go for someone else and try a different approach? Because then he could maybe get it right. But he's not exactly got not to disrespect him, a great track record as a manager. Are people crying out to employ him over the last however many years since his last job?
I take the Dazzler's point that perhaps three games in is a bit early to be talking in this way. However, I would counter that by saying you can't let it drift for too long, because if there is going to be another guy in succession to the manager, then you can't leave him with a situation that is irretrievable. Therefore, Kilmarnock have got to act while there is still scope for survival.
Thank you very much to Michael. Let's switch focus to Celtic. Alec is on the line. A 2-1 win against Falkirk today. Alec, what did you take away from it?
I took away from the game that Celtic really should have put the game to bed long before we did. But Kieran Tierney obviously had a fabulous first half, put a goal, the ball over for Durrani to score. But we know he's not going to last 90 minutes. Surely we should have a backup left back. We must have somebody in mind that we can go out and play, because Big Trusty can't be trusted. He's like Bambi on ice skates. Trusty costs a goal the other night. There Tuesday night costs a goal instead of putting the ball at the park. 5'4" players like myself can out muscle him. He's absolutely hopeless. And he comes on today, you can see the panic in his eyes. Celtic really, as a club, I mean, we've been spoiled over the last 20 years. I totally agree with you that we've won the 15 championships and all the rest of it been spoiled. But surely to God, Celtic scouting system can have a left back. I mean, we had the boy Scaracci last year. Why did we let him go?
Alec, you've used the most overused word in association with Celtic, and you've used it justifiably. Surely Celtic should have a backup goalkeeper by this time. Surely Celtic should have right back cover given Ali Johnson's injury situation. Surely Celtic should have left back cover given Kieran Tierney's state of physical fitness. Surely Celtic should have another defender because Trusty can't be trusted, as you said. But Celtic, listen to surely, and just go back to sleep.
At Landon Emanalo is been the name for weeks now. Chelsea youngster loanee. I think there was grainy phone footage claiming that he was at Lennox Town already. Martin O'Neill sort of spoke about it, acknowledged it as if it was a thing. He did say he had a slight injury at the time, but again, that was a couple of weeks ago. So if it's him, why has it not been done? If it's not him, who's it going to be? Because again, we're back to that thing. There was so much made about quality over quantity, but Celtic needed quantity.
Yeah,
you need a left back. Any left back. Now, I know that's not exactly the way it would work, but seriously, any left back, because you only have one. Similarly, any goalie, because you need one. So sometimes there's a place for quantity, and it doesn't look like they've done that yet.
They get a bit brazen at times, because they look at, and you think to yourself, domestically, they can get away with Scales going in at left back, right? Because he's played there, but Scales isn't the answer. They need more than, who rhymed it off there? They need more cover just for Kieran Tierney. I think they've got to look at the right back position as well. If Alistair Johnson's got to be out for a bit of time, their goalkeeper is a definite. And the middle of park, they've left their shell short today in the middle of park. Now, that's where I will agree with every Celtic fan in the world, because I think Celtic I have congratulated them this year because I think their business has been good. I thought they've went out and picked some real good top players that up until midweek have really looked impressive. Duran gets another two goals today. But I still don't blame the fact that I think they should have had enough midweek to get through it, especially at 4-0. But going forward and the transfer window closing, surely Celtic must have players in.
Yeah, that, listen, that word's now banned. You know, we've heard it too much. Yeah. It stopped sounding like a word. So,
but they lack ambition. They lack dynamism. And I guarantee you, between now and Thursday, when the window closes, they will not sign the number of players that they should have been signing. But, and Thursday night's programme for you will be a Klondike, because they'll have messed about and fallen asleep and done nothing.
Listen, we spoke about the one before. Will Ferry, he's right in front of you. For me, last year's contract, not a huge sum that's going to be agreed. You know he's going to do absolutely perfectly domestically. He'll be playing with better footballers at Celtic. Look at Celtic, they took Greg Taylor off Kilmarnock. He was a success for a number of years when he came in, done a fine job domestically and in Europe. You've got a guy there that's, for me, it's just take him. He's an easy option.
Take? Dundee United fans won't like that.
Well,
at a fee,
at a fee. Yes, yes.
Let me ask Alec. Was, I take it, Camilo Duran the bright spot today, Alec?
Obviously, he's got a brace today, and the first one was a bit lucky with the Falkirk keeper. He done well, and I totally agree with Hugh Keevans. I mean, this big Casper guy that we signed for, Bulldog Limps or whatever. He scored three goals against Kilmarnock, fair enough, but he's not kicked the ball since.
Do you not think that's a bit, did I not hear loads of praise for his link-up play in the home leg against Lince?
I don't think he spent £11 million to get a good link-up player.
But hold on, you just mentioned the hat-trick, so that's goals and hold-up play.
In one game he got a hat-trick against a Kilmarnock side that we've been describing as desperate.
Right, but in the other game was the link-up play. I just think you can't be too selective.
Not just link-up play, missed chances.
You can't be selective though. It might turn out to be rotten, but I just mean as it stands today.
Domestically there's not a chance he's got to end up being rotten.
No, let me tell you.
He'll score goals. Of course he will. Look, I think everybody's now judging it all in one game the other night there, because that's what they were brought in for, the Champions League situation. It failed miserably. Domestically, these guys will be okay, no problem whatsoever. I like Casper Hu. I really do. I know that obviously he missed out today, but he will, once he gets...
What if Duran is just becomes the better option through the middle?
Then Martin O'Neill has got probably a big problem, because you've got an £11 million centre forward that's got to be probably sitting there unhappy. And he's got all the qualities as well.
Thank you to Alec, 0141 951 1025. We'll take more calls next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans is here alongside Cammy Bell and Gordon Dia, looking for your reactions to either today's results, your previews for tomorrow, maybe some thoughts on any big stories doing the rounds this week. It is up to you. Paul is a Celtic fan from Kilmarnock. What are you thinking, Paul?
So, how are you doing, panel? My thoughts are just regards to the striker situation at Celtic. We've obviously mentioned who would start up front. Would it be Duran? Would it be who? I'm thinking more Martin O'Neill back in his first spell at Celtic. Obviously, we're talking going way back here. But he had a 4-4-2 system. Why not take a punt and put both of them up front together, have them play off each other? We can see that Hu's hold-up play is fantastic, and I think that would just bounce Duran to an extra level and give them a bit extra firepower up front.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for the front two. It's what happens behind that. What's the central midfield look like, Paul? McGregor and...
That would be my next point. Yeah. I definitely feel like we need to bring in at least another two centre midfielders in the window. I reckon six players overall. But
then, Paul, right, let's
first thing around, Paul, he had Stan Petrov, he had Paul Lambert.
He played three at the back.
3-5-2.
But anyway, right, so if Paul wants two central midfielders brought in, you've got McGregor, Bauer,
Negrin.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, and these two others. That's six. And Paul only wants to play two. That's not going to work.
No. The only way he can fit that in with the three midfield players is what you said. He's one that he played in 2000s, early 2000s, when he played 3-5-2. Now, I don't think he's going to go and play 3-5-2, especially when he's brought in the wingers he's brought in. Right, so he's not brought in.
Hassan was also bought for $9 million.
Yeah, so he's not brought in attacking fullbacks, wing backs. He's brought in wingers, so it tells you he's got to play with wingers. He just needs to. The amount of games Celtic have got and injuries and sort, you know, games he can hand pick, he can mix and match. I agree. It'd be great to see the two of them up top. See some games, they probably could go to Celtic Park and play. Like a 4-2-4.
We probably don't know exactly, and I know, by the way, Kilmarnock are obviously leaky, shall we say, as we found out today. But they did both play against Kilmarnock, and it was good. And they both played against Lask at home. You know, so it's not like it's impossible to make it work.
Yeah, listen, I agree with Daz. Listen, there might be games that he might try that 4-4-2 option, but I don't think it's a bad option having these two top strikers in your squad. They moaned all last year that they were struggling to get a striker there. They had to put Daizen Maeda was the one that ended up pulling them out of a hole to win the title. So I don't think it's bad, because they're going to have so many games coming up, big games as well. Players will get tired, there'll be injuries that will start to kick in as well during the season. And as you mentioned, there might be the opportunity to change that formation, see if it works. So I don't see it as being a negative at this moment in time.
Paul, do you think you'll get six in by Thursday?
Not confident in that at all, if I'm honest. And for me, I quite agree with the previous caller, Alec. A right back, a left back, and a centre back are also paramount. And I'll be honest, I'd take the three of them before I took two centre mids, because definitely Benji Negrin, he's a top player. There's no doubt about that. We've seen it all last season. We've seen it this season. It's just it's having the quality come in. I'm sceptical about having the younger players coming in on loan moves. I'd rather have somebody that's a bit more established, like say Will Ferry coming in, and knowing that they can do it in the league.
Paul, do you think Celtic will sign anybody by Thursday?
Oh, of course they will.
Surely.
That's a guarantee. They'll sign somebody.
Surely they were saying something.
They will. I know that they'll get criticised for their business, but they will.
What's the bare minimum then? So, left, as we said, left, if you're back, just talking numbers that you just need to tick off, left back.
100%.
Are you convinced they'll go for a goalie, by the way?
I was about to say that. I think Paul's nailed it. I think when you look at the defensive side of Celtic at this moment in time, is where you need to get your players. Your goalkeeper, your left back, your right back. They're key for me. They're areas that Celtic need to. They're only one injury away from a crisis in them areas, so they need to get
a goalkeeper is under pressure after what happened in Austria, because people are blaming him for some of the goals. The backup, with the greatest respect to Ross Doohan, is not going to play Europa League football or even domestic football for you. So how can you not have a goalkeeper by Thursday?
What's the minimum then? Three, goalkeeper, left back, and they'll sign a central midfielder.
Central midfielder.
Whether they end up with the target they wanted, but there has been still a number of names. Engels is gone, Hatate's not even in the squad, so you should probably be looking at two more.
Don't think they'll look at the right back position.
No,
I don't.
Comfortable with that?
I think because I think because of the Champions League situation, I don't think they need to look at that now.
Okay.
Me personally, I think definitely a left back position. They'll certainly go for a midfield player. And Sinisalo, for me, domestically is okay. I'm not his biggest fan. And I'm not just landing the blame at him for midweek for the exit. But I think they've got to look at a backup goalkeeper.
Okay. Thank you to Paul on the line. It's 01419511025. If you want to join us, we would love to have you, whether you're looking back on today or ahead or whatever you fancy. Let's see how many we can squeeze in. Let's hear from Lee Sharp, who's in charge of Dundee United today. Hopefully get a bit of an update, because Jim Goodwin unable to go to Rugby Park, he's ill in hospital. But a 4-0 win for Dundee United down there.
Yeah, delighted. The boys were great, I thought, from start to finish. They were excellent. Everything we'd done all week to before, obviously, the manager wasn't there, and we continued when obviously a few days he hadn't been in, and even the messages that he relayed to me today, you know, it was all kind of positive and get the guys going for the game, and it was great. Yeah, the motivation's there anyway, but you know, you're wanting to put that performance on, and I relayed that message to the players as well. You know, manager's not here, he's not well, you know, etc. So let's make sure we go out and you know, do him proud. I put in a performance that he can actually sit and watch and not stress too much about. Yeah, he's all right. He's feeling fine. He's just, as is, I don't know much, to be honest. You know, it's just keeping him in for observation, and that's about it. You know, so he's a bit kind of perplexed by it as well. So yeah, that's, he had a bit of a chuckle. So he was feeling a bit better, he said. So he was very pleased.
It'll get lost in the Kilmarnock negativity, but it's a great result for Dundee United.
Oh, sensational result. You know, for all that Kilmarnock are hopeless, no one gives you four goals before a game starts. You have to actually get them for yourself. And that really is a tonic for the manager.
Here's Neil McCann. Let's get his thoughts.
There's no point in me giving you lots of words here. You know, I think everybody knows what type of person I am. That's a sore one. I've had a good chat to the boys in the dressing room. They're feeling the exact same way as me. And the only way you can put things right is the next game. And we'll get a chance on Wednesday night against St Mirren to do that. Look, it's early in the season, I know that, and that's not going to be any solace to the Kilmarnock fans. They're not going to give us any breathing space in respect to that. They expect to see results come quick. There was so much optimism last year, but it is early. Two of the back four today were debutants, and they're going to take a wee bit of time to get up to speed. But yeah, I thought we started the game bright, and then we concede from a set piece, and it's poor from our perspective because we put a lot of work into it. And they set a piece of dodgy, worked really hard with the guys, and they set up, and it's a really poor goal to concede. And then the second one is maybe just a wee bit of inexperience from Cahill, who I thought had a really good game today for a kid. You know, he's got such a bright future ahead of him, but he's sore down there in the dressing room because he's part of our defence. It's conceded four goals, but yeah. And then the second half, obviously, I've got to make some aggressive changes and try and get ourselves back in the game. I thought again we started well. But it's not. It wasn't enough. I think words are cheap right now for the fans. I apologise to them for what they saw today, and I'll get right back at it again tomorrow.
You're right there. Words are cheap. Actions now. Actions speak louder than words, and that's the situation that Kilmarnock are in against St Mirren midweek. Absolute must win.
I'm imagining he'll be angrier than that in private. But he's because you do need to pick your moments wisely. He probably knows he can't come out and be as angry publicly as he wants to be.
Yeah, listen, he'll be very angry inside, and he'll be disappointed with what he's seen today, because the result tells a story. We heard Simon and Paul on the phone. What they seen today wasn't good enough. It's not what they want to see as Kilmarnock fans. Dundee United sounds as if they dominated the game with 74% possession, a number of shots on target. That's not Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. Rugby Park needs to be a fortress, because the last few seasons, Kilmarnock's away form has been really, really poor. So if they continue this form at home, they're going to be in real trouble. They've got an opportunity on Wednesday, as he mentioned, to turn it around, but they need to do that.
We will hear from Martin O'Neill. Some interesting stuff from him today, and look ahead to Rangers' trip to Pittodrie tomorrow as well when we return. So give us a call right now.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell, Gordon Dieler here. We will look ahead to Rangers' trip to Pittodrie very soon. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill first of all, though. Here is what he had to say on the game against Falkirk today.
Been tough all 4 days for us. And, it was a big concern today. But just physically, the 120 minutes, the disappointment losing, and the psychological aspect of all of that there. But it was a good response today. We missed a lot of great chances to wrap the game up. And I always felt that Falkirk were never out of it at 2-0, as it sort of proved. So just to win the game today, it was great. I would be disappointed if we had dropped points from the number of chances that we created. But we were in the back foot the last 10 or 15 minutes of the game, naturally, because of the goal that we conceded.
And interesting stuff as well on this ticket allocation story. You'll remember last night, on top of the Scottish Cup punishments, it was announced by Rangers they'll only offer 300 to Celtic for the Premier Sports Cup clash at Ibrox. Here's what Martin O'Neill had to say on that.
We might as well not get any, if that's the case, you know. So my view, taking off, you know, a Celtic manager's hat, you know, and just looking at it from a viewpoint, it's one of the great fixtures, even if the teams are not of the standard of, you know, let's say Paris Saint-Germain or Real Madrid. it is still a fantastic fixture. And you honestly, you don't, of course you realise how big it is in European games and in the world. People talk about it as a great game. And the best atmosphere is when the away fans have their allocation. That's been my point the whole way. I thought from a distance, watching games when they away, that it lost something. You know, I remember, I think it came to one of these, one of the games here where Celtic and Rangers scored a goal under in complete silence. So that's not what you're looking for. It's still a crowd participation game. And that's a shame. If these are the things that are happening because of, if we're both having to play behind closed doors for the next game, if we're at home, well, I don't know. I'm not contesting that, and I don't. But overall, it's, you know, from a distance, it is a shame because it's a phenomenal fixture.
It is one of the great fixtures of world football, tarnished of late by disreputable behaviour, antisocial conduct. And in the estimation of the SFA Independent Commission, a fixture which now carries the threat of loss of life. Martin O'Neill is wrong. There should be no fans inside the ground at Ibrox from Celtic, and there should be no Rangers fans inside Celtic Park when Rangers go there in the Premiership.
But that's not the argument here, is it? They have offered 300.
Well, yeah, but Martin is saying that's not enough, and you're just paying for misbehaviour.
I don't know if he's saying it's not enough. I think what he's saying, in days gone by, and I've been very privileged to play in these games. Sometimes a game is secondary. The atmosphere is absolutely brilliant, but we all know and we all agree we cannot have the scenes that we had at Lyon.
You did not play in an era when people turned up for the game in balaclavas.
But I played in an era when
a lot of ropey stuff in his era as well.
I played in an era when they ran on at Hampden Hugh.
You've forgotten why you're not allowed to drink at football matches anymore.
I was there. I covered the game.
Yeah, exactly. Don't just blame the modern day people. Yeah,
but we cannot applaud the fact that that was 46 years ago. The fact is, the scenes on March the 8th were totally unacceptable, shamed the clubs, shamed Scottish football, and shamed the country.
I think the point Martin O'Neill's trying to make, though, Cammy, is, so, and Hugh might be right, and maybe that is the only solution. I don't really feel qualified enough to know exactly what the right solution is, but we all say it's one of the best derbies in the world. It does stop becoming that when you take away fans away. So if that's right, fine. But we're probably running out of this claim then, that it's going, because that's really a big part of what makes it that.
Absolutely. It's part of any derby. You know, you look at all the big derbies over the world, and for me, the Old Firm derby is one of the best in the world, if not the best. But all the derbies are created because of the atmosphere and its home and away supporters. So you're right in what you're saying, Gordon. Listen, this absolutely takes away from the fixture. There's no getting away from it. Martin O'Neill touched on it there when he's been in the stadium, not as a Celtic manager, and the opposition team scores. There's complete silence. That's not great when you're trying to sell a product. I think this was always going to come, though. You could see it after the 8th of March, which you said was unacceptable scenes and should never be seen in Scottish football. This was always going to come. Something had to happen. And it is a shame. It's a shame for the fixture. It's a shame for all the fans from both sides that behave themselves and aren't allowed in the stadium. But I think it was inevitable that something had to be done.
Okay, 01419511025 if you want to chip in. Nadeem was already on the line. It is a big, big day tomorrow for Rangers. Nadeem, it always is in a way when you go to Pittodrie, but talk to us about what's hanging on this one.
Afternoon, guys. I know you say it's a big game, and it is a big game. You're playing Aberdeen and you're playing them away from home. It's one of the biggest fixtures in the Scottish calendar. I feel, you know what, see, as a Rangers fan, I'm not that bothered about it anymore, because the way I feel about the team now is just, I feel embarrassed, Gordon. You know, I've seen the lady that took the call when I phoned in, that I actually feel embarrassed as a Rangers fan now after what happened on Thursday. And it's not just that, it's the whole season, you know, so far, the pre-season. I just feel that under Derek McInnes, we went backwards. And people can argue all day long that, you know, we went great last season. Yeah, we went, but we were a much better team. We had a style of play under Danny Rowe that we just haven't got under Derek McInnes. He spent £30-odd million on players that they look like they've never played together, you know, and he had an extra week off to prepare for the European game. Did it show? Did it hell? You know, we played as if we're absolute strangers in the pitch. It feels like to me that the players have chucked it, they're just not having Derek McInnes. And if that's the case, then from my point of view, great, because I never wanted him in the first place. And I just think it's better. And I know people say you can't keep changing managers. I totally get that. But can you keep a manager when you know he's not good enough? He's just not good enough to be the Rangers manager. And one thing I'll say finally, Gordon, right before I let the panel back in, is one thing that really annoyed me, that the comments that he's made, is at the end of the European game, he said that his backroom staff have worked really, really, really hard to get the players into prime condition. Lauren Shankland looks about a stone overweight. He's absolutely no fit to be on the bench, never mind in the starting lineup. So I don't understand when he talks about his staff getting the players into position and into prime position when they don't. It's clearly not the case.
See, just on that last point, right? He's obviously not playing well, and criticism none the team is. I think this overweight stuff's totally overplayed. Yeah. I don't think he is.
No, he isn't.
I don't know why it's become such a thing. Look, even at his peak, at his prime last season, Lauren Shankland isn't—he's not a buzz bomb. He doesn't fly around the place. No. That's more of a style thing than a weight thing. I think that's way overplayed.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Listen, and you see all the pictures that are flying about after the game, and that's just reactive to what happened. Not Lauren Shankland. I think it's just
also some of them aren't real.
No, either. Absolutely, and it's totally not real. And listen, you're right in what you say, Gordon. That Lauren Shankland isn't a guy that's going to run about and chase after lost causes. He's not that type of striker. He's a striker that is in the middle of the box and scores goals. He's not hit the ground running. That's why he's getting criticism. I think jumping on his way, I don't think it plays a huge part in that. I think he's just kind of not found his feet yet. He's not in a good Rangers team either at this moment in time, so he's not the only person to blame. They've been really poor up to this moment, and I think he's feeling a little bit of the heat as well because he's been given the captaincy.
Anyway, the most important thing that Nadeem said was that as a deeply committed Rangers supporter who regularly calls this programme, he doesn't care what happens tomorrow because he has already lost faith in the management.
Where I do agree with him is I think Rangers are going back the way. I really do. I don't see any improvement whatsoever. I know they've now spent another, 17, 18 million. As two other players coming in, forward areas going to make such a difference. For a Rangers fan and Derek McInnes and everyone concerned, they certainly hope so. But on the show and so far, I think Rangers have went back the way instead of improving.
You do sound pretty done with this, Nadeem. You don't think Derek McInnes can improve this or improve it enough?
To put it into context, Gordon, we're out of Europe, right? We've not won a game in the season apart from the St Min Cup game, right? Well, the only way he's going to turn this around is if he wins the league. We're not in Europe anymore. Is Derek McInnes with this Rangers team going to win the league? Absolutely not. You need to be an absolute millionaire to put any money on that. There's no way Derek McInnes is going to get Rangers to win the league this season. And that is the only way that he would be able to keep his job. In my opinion, he shouldn't have been in the first place, but he's there. We've got behind him. But what I've seen so far, the players just look absolutely lost in a football pitch, and that comes from the management team. That comes from the coach. So I don't think he can turn it around, Gordon. No, I've absolutely no faith.
I think Nadeem made a good point with regards to when he says, and we all heard Derek McInnes' comments after the game about his backroom staff. I felt as if that was a really strange comment, because I think you win and you lose as a team, as a group. So you don't identify that his backroom staff, of course his backroom staff's going to do absolutely everything to give them players the best chance, and that's just natural, that's their job. The players haven't delivered, but I think you win and lose as a group. Whether that comment was made because there has been a little bit of criticism towards who's in his backroom staff.
Do you think it felt that way? Do you think he knows?
100%.
He knows there's been criticism.
Absolutely.
And has tried to make 100%.
A point. Why would you say that?
I've heard a lot of managers do various types of post-match interviews. I've never heard one immediately want to point out.
Yeah, Cammy's right. We've been in the game long enough, and exactly what Derek's doing. A bit of experience here. He knows what's happening. He knows the whispers that are going about. And he's come out there and he's went, boom, I'm going to support my backroom staff here. Well, you're talking about being
prepared.
But
they lost the game.
Yeah, and they had no structure whatsoever. So I don't know how he can pat them in the back. And you're right, if you're going to lose and you're going to go forward to get, you've got to do it together as a team.
The test of Derek McInnes' backroom staff will come after Monday, because on Monday he will be sentenced. He's got a 4-game suspension, one of those suspended. He's appealing against the severity of that sentence. But he was Hearts manager at the time when it happened. If he is suspended, and he will be for 1, 2, or 3 games, then his backroom staff will become the front room staff. And we'll find out then how good they are.
To be fair, it's more about what happens through the week, though, isn't it? Whether he actually gets to take his place in the dugout for 90 minutes doesn't necessarily change how good a job everyone's doing.
Oh, I think on match day it does.
No, listen, it can play a part, but I don't think it can't be the be-all and end-all. The accusation of this Rangers team is that they're underprepared. That's the week. You know, that's not the 90 minutes that the manager's in the dugout.
There's also such a thing as in-game management.
And listen, but Derek McInnes is doing it constantly. No, three changes.
Listen, I'm not having a go at his backroom stuff. What I'm saying is that I don't think it's the right time to identify that. And I think he's done that because there has been criticism and he's obviously heard that. As I say, for me, when I've been in teams that have lost big games, you win and lose as a group. And that includes the full management staff. They're part of losing a game. And it's the same when you win a game. It's the full group. It's not just the players on the pitch. It's the whole club. You win and lose as a club. And I just felt as if it was a little bit wrong timing to say that.
What is the best? In fact, we're very short on time, Nadeem, but very quickly, you're going to win tomorrow.
I'm going to win tomorrow. I hope so. I'm just absolutely just lost with it. Gordon, yeah, I hope we win tomorrow. You want me to be quick? Yes, I hope we win.
Good
tomorrow.
Man. I was going to ask what the best team was and all that sort of stuff, and then I glanced at the clock and realised we were in real trouble. Can Rangers get the win they need tomorrow?
Yeah, because of the opposition. They can't... No, I was going to say they can't be any worse than they were on Thursday, but you never know. But the opposition is very poor.
Yes, because they need to.
I don't think they'll lose, I think they'll draw.
Oh, then that would be just as bad in many ways. Mm. Thank you very much, Gordon Dalziel, Cammy Bell, Hugh Keevans. Thank you, though. The biggest thanks, as always, for listening and keeping us company all afternoon, and especially on the phone lines as well. Another huge Sunday coming up, because it's not just Rangers, of course, heading to Aberdeen. Motherwell, after their European exploits, going to St Mirren. How do Hibs respond? Lots to get through, so Andrew McLean and the guys will have you covered. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. The GBX is up next.